Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on AFR. Today's Issues is the name of the show. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim.
From American Family Radio News, Steve joins us. I did some checking here, and because I had heard it mentioned that Texas is so big that it's longer or as long from Amarillo to Chicago as it is from Amarillo to Brownsville, Texas.
That
is not quite true. I looked it up. From Amarillo to Brownsville, both in Texas, obviously, is 12 hours and 19 minutes.
Going the speed limit, of course.
Yes.
Which everybody does.
Sure. But going from Amarillo to Chicago is 15 hours and 22 minutes. So roughly 3 hours longer to drive to Chicago from Amarillo than to Brownsville. But still, just goes to show you.
And it might be the same distance as the crow flies, as they say, because it'll probably take longer to get through the different states. Texas, you can go miles and miles and miles without hitting anything.
Yeah. Have you done that?
Oh, yeah.
From where to where?
Oh, well, I was on a tour, actually, in a bus that went from El Paso to somewhere in the Houston area, so and crossed the entire state, and we did a concert the night in El Paso, and we traveled all night and all day the next day into late evening before we hit Houston.
Did you feel like singing when you got there?
No, but we did. Kind of got to.
Was it a church choir or something?
It was the Continental Singers.
Oh, okay. You were in that Continental thing? Are they still around?
No, actually. I encouraged my daughter to audition. She auditioned in, 2005, and shortly after she went, and shortly after that, they succumbed to the...
Now, were they like a ministry of what?
No, they were an independent ministry.
Okay.
It was auditioned, but the amount of money you could provide had a little bit more to do with it than the voice. They had good musicians. I won't say. We were.
Wasn't there another singing group or two that traveled the country?
Well, Roger Breland had Truth out of Memphis. They were singing in a much more select group, toured full time.
Are they still out there?
No, I think Roger's son is doing something, but Roger's retired.
Okay.
Truth. My musical inspiration. Mm-hmm. Two things. I grew up listening to Truth, and I grew up listening to Second Chapter of Acts. Mm-hmm. And from Second Chapter of Acts, the group, the two sisters and a brother, I learned how to sing harmonies. Mm-hmm. They taught me everything I know about harmonies. Truth was just musicianship, and I don't know. It was just. We were big
Matthew
fans.
Matthew Ward,
Nellie Grisham.
It was the second chapter of Acts. They were like one of the pioneers in Christian contemporary music.
Annie Herring and Matthew Ward still actively recording at times.
Brother, sister.
Yeah, and Nellie, the other sister, actually attended the church that I went to in Colorado Springs for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her brother. I met Matthew, who was, a growing up, a musical idol of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Big influence on my life.
All right, what's in the news?
Hey, first, if I could do a public service announcement, is that okay with you?
Sure.
Only 365 shopping days left until Christmas. Get to it, men.
Okay, gotcha,
all right.
Steve.
I wanted to go back a little bit to last week, if I could. Some things that we weren't able to cover because of the weekend and Learning University and the 2 days and everything. So it's been a while since we've been together. And last week, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen was at a Judiciary Committee hearing in the House. And she was kind of describing, she was taking heat from Democrats for border policies and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Illinois Congressman Luis Gutierrez, who was doing his swan song, he's retiring, and he is probably, this was his opening audition for mayor of Chicago, which he's running for as well, and he took on Ms. Nielsen and he kind of brought in the Christmas and Christ thing. It was pointed. It kind of points to the anti-religious and or how they can take it on when it suits them and they don't at other times. I heard you talking about this mm-hmm. earlier. Play clip five.
It is repugnant to me and astonishing to me that during Christmas, I like to call them the holiday seasons to be inclusive, but during Christmas, because the majority always wants to just call it Christmas, that during Christmas, a time in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, a Jesus Christ who had to flee for his life with Mary and Joseph. Thank God there wasn't a wall that stopped him from seeking refuge in Egypt. And thank God there wasn't an administration like this, or he would have too have perished. Maybe I haven't gone a lot to Bible school, but I know that part. Thank God. Shame on everybody that separates children and allows them to stay at the other side of the border fearing death. Shame on us for wearing our badge of Christianity during Christmas and allow the secretary to come here and lie.
Yeah, the leading theologian from Illinois, Congressman Luis Gutierrez.
What in the world is he talking about?
So the policy, which the law, which says that they're not going to send children into incarceration with their parents when they cross illegally. You remember that President mm-hmm. Obama just ignored that law, and President Trump decided to pay attention to it. And so everybody kind of blames Trump for separating children and parents at the border. It wasn't really him, but that's what he was talking about, and that's right. What he was ranting about.
Yeah, the whole separation is a joke because – this all started with judges. Judges started issuing varying rulings saying that children cannot be held in incarceration for more than 30 days. And so that's where the separation began, because of rogue judges who said that children don't need to be in jail with their parents for more than 30 days. Thus came the separation. So this is a judicial problem and a law problem. But
how do we even know these minors, these children that are pulled across the border are in fact the children of the people bringing them across?
Well, we don't.
Right.
I mean, if you were why wouldn't you just, you know, I mean, how do you know?
Sometimes it's proven that there's child trafficking.
Again, what you're talking about here, the point is, this gentleman, this
Congressman
Gutierrez,
he's blaming the Secretary of Homeland Defense, Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that she is lying and that she is responsible for separating children from their parents during this holiday season or during this Christmas season, as he talked about. And thank God, he says, they didn't have a wall in Egypt when Jesus and Joseph and Mary went there.
Right.
As if it's the same thing. So he's, again, just to be clear, these folks like this Gutierrez, they don't believe in borders, all right? Now, that's a whole question that he needs to be asked, that he won't answer. But they want to blame people who are for borders as being mean-spirited and wanting to separate children from their parents. And now, we'll say this. President Trump yielded on that point, because President Trump told his border security to enforce the law.
Right.
The law as it's written says that you can't put children in places where adult potential criminals are being held.
You don't want to send them to the detention centers with
no. No, and but it's a catch 22, because if you do separate the children from the adults, mm-hmm. in a detention center situation, then you get blamed for separating families. You see how this works? So you're really in a no-win situation.
Yeah.
If you're the border security of the U.S., if you're going to have to deal with people, they say they're families. You have a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Who knows?
You have your 4-year-old and an 8-year-old with some adult who doesn't even speak English. You don't do a DNA test right there to determine that these children – are these children his, or they're just kids that were brought along?
It's probably safe to say that in most cases they are the children of, but still you don't want to put them in. The Obama administration dealt with this conundrum.
Don't want to put them in what?
In prison, in jail, or in detention with adults.
Right, but then you're separating.
You
potentially.
Are. The Obama administration took care of this by what they called catch and release, which is to catch these illegal immigrants coming across with kids.
That's what we're doing now.
You cite them, release them, and let them go. Well, I think there's a new policy, or at least a new agreement with Mexico, and I'm not sure how this is going to work if it's for illegal immigrants as well. But the Mexico has agreed to keep the immigrants, I believe, both legal and illegal. And Walker, you can check me on that if I'm wrong. You probably know better. They're going to keep them on the Mexican side of the border, united as families. They catch them. They give them a court date, and they send them back to Tijuana or wherever on the other side of the border they are, and they wait for the court date, which I think should take care of this. They disappear into the country and never bother to show up for the court date. Now they are more likely to show up for the court date, and they're trying to expedite that process.
Yeah, this will hopefully disincentivize, assuming a judge doesn't step in, disincentivize the people who, the illegal immigrants, who have been taking advantage of the catch and release policy because we don't have enough room in these shelters or detention centers to house all these people. So we've been letting them go in the streets.
Well, they're letting them go today in El Paso.
Right, with court dates, and they never come back, as you said. But, you know, with Gutierrez, or however you say his last name, the congressman out of Texas.
Illinois.
The thing about that is, and just like I said at the beginning of the show, they apply the Bible in one area, but they don't apply it in the other. Why doesn't Gutierrez apply Romans 13 about how we should obey government in this instance? Oh, wait, that would conflict with illegal immigration and open borders. So Romans 13 talks about how you should obey the established government. And if these illegal immigrants would do that, then they wouldn't cross our border illegally. They would go to a port of entry, apply for asylum, which 90% of them get turned down, even by liberal judges, because they don't have standing.
Yeah, and asylum, the U.S. is very... historically a very gracious country when it comes to people seeking asylum who are leaving war-torn areas, there may be genocide going on, or those kinds of hardships. We've taken in millions of people, I would suspect, from those kinds of situations.
And the El Paso situation that you just talked about, and Steve may have that story, but do you want to go ahead and bring it up, and then I'll explain?
Sure. Immigration and Customs Enforcement had to take at least 300, maybe more, immigrants that were in detention centers. So these are illegal immigrants that were in detention centers, and they had to release them because of overcrowding, because of lack of resources to care for them all. And so they put them on a bus, and basically, remember when you said you wish they'd drive them on a bus to Jerry Brown's house or these Hollywood people? Well, they took them to downtown El Paso and dropped them off. So that's the situation there. Walker, you can explain that, and then we probably want to talk about the two deaths from children there as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the story, but from what I understand, these were illegal immigrants who were apprehended at the border that Immigration and Customs Enforcement determined that they had a legitimate asylum claim. And so thus, they dropped them off in El Paso. But this goes to, it's a lose-lose for anybody who's trying to do what's good. Because if you keep them detained, then the left complains. But if you let them out, the left complains. There's a Democrat local state representative in Texas who's complaining that ICE let these folks out on the streets because he's saying y'all need to provide them shelter and food.
Well, that's the problem is it was over capacity, overcrowding.
We keep them detained.
It was unsafe.
Yeah, and they go, you need to let them out. You need to let the children and the families out. We let them out, and they go, you need to provide them shelter.
Anything that doesn't just let them go in free in our country.
And maybe give them a little bit of money.
And
well, they are free to go. They are free
to
go.
For the most part.
What's happening, the story I read, that they're letting a couple hundred different people who are here illegally go a day in El Paso for the next 2 or 3 days. And so, but they're free to call relatives and try to get places to go and live. And they have some kind of charity locally that gives people housing for temporarily, at least, who are in that situation. I don't. Anyway, that's the deal there. But they're having. You're right, Walker. It's kind of, you know, you get if you're, you know, you, if you don't let them go, then the left accuses you of detaining people too long,
yes,
illegally. But if you do let them go, then they say you shouldn't let them go without having housing,
shelter, and food and water
for them. So yeah. It's not.
This anyway. Is from the Daily Mail, what I was looking for. It says the released migrants, mostly from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, were found by asylum officers to have a credible fear of persecution if they were to be repatriated. So at least the officers said their stories sound legit when it comes to asylum. The judge will have the final say.
Is there a war going on in those? I should know this, I guess.
No, I think it's probably drug cartels and just... It's
in those
crime.
Countries you mentioned?
Yeah, those countries are...
Some more than others.
Yeah.
Well, there's always been corruption and you know, poverty.
Right.
Governments are shaky down there.
And there always will be.
Right.
If nothing changes in those mm-hmm. countries.
And that could be... That's the case in half the world or more.
Oh, yeah.
Crime, instability.
Yeah. You know, for everybody who bashes America, you know... If the world would adopt our values and our economic policies and our values, that's a broad term, American mm-hmm. values, but I'm talking about freedom and opportunity mm-hmm. and value for education,
law and order
and, the golden rule. Okay. You can always cite places where America does not follow those values. I understand
sure.
that. But I'm speaking broadly here.
Yes.
Freedom and the opportunity to to make money off your hard work is something that makes America special, which is hard to find in other places in the world. And also corruption. You know, we punish people in America for corruption in government or business. Now, they're not always caught, and mm-hmm. corruption still goes on. As long as there are people on Earth, corruption's still going to go on. But again, I'm talking broadly here. But you take places like Central America, much of South America. I'm going to go around the world here, I guess. Africa. You know, the other places in the world, but certainly those that I mentioned, those places will be in perpetual poverty. Because unless they adopt a government and they adopt the things I mentioned a few mm-hmm. minutes ago, you're always going to have one king or one lord or
dictator.
One dictator after another, because that's, you know, there's no rule of law. There's he who has the gun rules. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure in these countries in Central America, like Guatemala and Honduras and the other ones, there are, you know, drugs are a big business, and they'll probably drug lords do run mm-hmm. a lot of the country, and maybe people do feel
right afraid,
terrorized, and so that they do apply for asylum.
Right.
And you're saying a lot of them are
90% are turned down even by the judges. But,
okay.
But the reason, from what I understand, these were released in El Paso is the asylum officers who work for the U.S. government pointed at these 100 or so odd people and said, these people, from what we've interviewed them, their claims of asylum sound legitimate.
Yeah.
So they're most likely to be approved by a judge. Yeah. Let's let them out.
But unless things change and in these places in the world that I mentioned, there's a, you know, you have to say, why do people want to come to America from all over the world? But it's because of opportunity and freedom.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
and a chance. And if we could see opportunity and freedom and a chance in their own countries, then they would stay there.
Yeah, you know? it's been a it's oft tried, rarely successful. They call it nation building when the United States goes in and tries to put a democracy in place.
It has to be organic.
It does need to be organic. And it's worth noting that poverty and fear of crime are not legitimate reasons for asylum. In other words,
right.
you'd have
the whole world,
literally billions of people that would be eligible for asylum, and then that would make us a lot like that. Speaking of money, may I?
Yes, please.
By the way, well, I'll get to that later. The House Democrats have started looking at what they're going to be talking about next term when they're in power in the House, and they have what they're calling a Green New Deal that they are going to be pushing. It is a broad plan to fight global warming and bring about what they see as economic, social, and racial justice. Just get ready. All the PC police will be out in force. They're comparing it to the New Deal and Great Society, and Ocasio-Cortez is comparing it to the moonshot and civil rights movements. This says that this is her generation's fight. They're going to move the U.S. to 100% green energy. They're going to have federal job guarantees for workers forced out because of fossil fuel jobs. They want to guarantee minimum incomes, and they want universal health care. That's what you're going to be hearing next year as Congress gets into session and starts going. So the Senate won't get past the Senate, most likely.
Right.
And certainly President Trump will veto it. It's fiscally and economically untenable, but that's never stopped the government before.
Mm-hmm. Well, Walker, you got anything to say to that?
No, that's the Democrat platform. Hand out money.
Speak for itself.
Yep, hand out money and hand out more money.
You can't out free stuff the Democrats. No. I'll say that.
Well, like they say, it's fun until you run out of other people's money to spend. Mm-hmm. They say that just the 100% renewable electric grid could cost as much as $5.2 trillion a year. So,
you know, California's trying a lot of these wiped-out policies.
I beg your pardon. $5.2 trillion over two decades.
You know, a lot of these policies that these lefty get more government control policies, California's actually implementing a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. By 2020, I believe, by the end of 2020, all the homes in California are going to have to be converted to solar power.
Or
the new builds are going to have to be built with solar power. And so that's financially unsustainable for families who already can't afford a home in California. Then you have to spend thousands on solar panels. But we're going to be able to see the Democrat policies in action in California, for better or worse.
This is why I paid $1.82 for a gallon for gas the other day, and in California they're still up close to $4 a gallon.
Hmm. Good night. You're kidding.
No. It's just the taxes, the way they go.
Okay.
The organizers, we just have a couple minutes. Let me stop with this. I wanted to talk about the Air Canada flight. If you were flying the other day from Victoria to Hawaii for Christmas vacation, as mm-hmm. many up in Canada might have been, they took an Air Canada flight, and halfway to Hawaii, the plane had to turn around because of a mechanical issue. It wasn't a danger, but they flew all the way back to Hawaii. But they did compensate the passengers $10 each. $10 Canadian.
Wait a minute. They were going from Canada to Hawaii and turned around?
Yes.
And went back to Victoria?
Yes.
But they gave them 10 bucks.
Vouchers. And yes. And they had to find a later flight and the whole 10 bucks.
Because of what problem there? You had hydraulic?
It's a hydraulic problem, but it wasn't an emergency. It was a maintenance issue.
So a lot of people got rich off that flight.
Yeah. A lot of people got delayed.
You're better off not giving anything. If you're going to give $10
back bucks.
In flight credit,
then you're subject to mockery. Otherwise, you just say, hey, we're sorry for the trouble. We'll put you on another flight.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Adam Suddis ran the controls for us today. We appreciate Adam. All right, Tim Wildman here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, folks. Take it easy.